We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests joining us today.
Yes, indeed.
From the shop. No, I said the shop. From the shop, we got Matt Ricarda and Paul Rivera. Welcome, fellas.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
What's up,
Jess? How y'all feeling?
I'm feeling fantastic. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
How long y'all known each other?
We met in 2009, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At Nike. He was working at Nike. I started my career at Nike as an intern long time ago, 20-something years.
Mm-hmm.
P was then, I don't know what year you started working there.
Yeah, 07.
07, and then we met in 08, 09, around there.
But it's like dog years when you spend so much time with someone.
So what did y'all do at Nike? And is it Nike or Nike? It's Nike.
What did y'all do at Nike? I don't work there, but people always say the check. They don't use the swoosh. They always say the swoosh.
The swoosh.
Mm. People say the check. But I was an intern in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was a consultant. Then they employed me. I dropped out of school and started working there.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked in sports marketing.
Yeah, my last job at Nike, which is how we met and got tight, was I was the global marketing director for the LeBron brand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in the off season, we'd take global athlete tours, take Bron to China and Madrid and do all those things. So as I said, dog ears, because you spend a lot of time together.
Mm-hmm. I read Rich Paul's book, and Rich Paul talks about how, you know, Bron didn't know what he wanted his team to do. He just was like, yeah, I'm going to figure something out. So that was your thing, Mav? Let me go to Nike. And
my thing was, I met a gentleman who is responsible for my career named Lynn Merritt.
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman.
The general.
The general, as we call him. Worked at Nike for 30 years. Amazing, amazing man. A black man who I met. We started talking, took a liking to me, and was like, offered me an internship. And to your point, at that moment, I was 19, so LeBron would have been 16. I was like, shit, this is an opportunity. I'm just in college. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity to further my education. I was playing basketball, and when I got there, I was like, I want to learn here. And I was like, this is my dream job. We all know, like you guys in my family, I was like, this is a good-ass job.
Mm-hmm.
This shit comes with Benefits.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Black That's people. All parents say. The job with benefits. That's
Can
all
you
mom
go
doing.
Get something done at the dentist if you need it. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters. Right. It was a good ass job, and I get to learn, and I get to be able to provide something back to LeBron and his team eventually when he becomes LeBron. So that was the thinking.
Now, how did you know LeBron since he was 16 and 19? Did you grow each other?
I met LeBron when I was. He came to my 8th birthday party. He was 5. Mm-hmm. My dad and mom were friendly with his stepfather and mom, mm-hmm. because where we lived on the north side of Akron, it's a hill called Howard Street Hill. I lived in the housing on top of the hill. Top of the hill is like a low income neighborhood, mm-hmm. where I live. At the bottom of the hill is literally the projects. So at the bottom of the hill, that's where LeBron lived. And it's literally called the bottom, mm-hmm. because, and I think about that now as I've gotten older, like, damn, it's like, if you ask LeBron and he knows you from Akron, where you're from, he would say the bottom, mm-hmm. but he's referencing the projects that are at the bottom of this hill, but it's also at the bottom of socioeconomic life and everything. Mm-hmm. So he was from there. I was from there. So we lived basically in the same neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I just lived in the houses. And he lived in the projects at the bottom of the hill.
And how did y'all get tight since he was so many years younger than you?
He was always taller, so he didn't look
five. So he didn't look like he was 5. He looked like he was 12. Five.
No. His ears looked like he was 17. Mm-hmm. And he was always exactly like he is, smart and thoughtful, so he could hang. So he would hang, and then he started moving around. He actually left the neighborhood. Him and his mom is a number he would have to tell you. They moved like 9 times or something before the 4th grade, mm-hmm. bouncing around. And then we reconnected when he was in middle school. I was in high school. By then, he was like the best middle school player in the city.
So he was always good in basketball at that age?
Yeah. By the time he was 13, 14 in Akron, everybody knew of him and his teammates, by the way, mm-hmm. who became my friends and ended up being my teammate. And they came to the high school I was at.
Give him the MVP.
That's funny. I am still I would never bring this up unless he made me. I always say this to LeBron. I'm the only player who's ever played on his team who won the MVP and not him.
Was he injured?
Did he was a senior. He was a freshman.
Exactly. Yeah, he followed the story.
Still.
I was a senior. He was a freshman. And to his credit, he did average a point, one more point than me. He averaged 18. I averaged 17. Mm-hmm. But I got player of the year.
Because you was a senior. Because they gave it to you because you was a senior.
I think so.
So you ain't deserve it. So he really.
I was messing with you.
Where do you get your demeanor though, Matt? Because you have a royal air. Like mm-hmm. you,
royal?
Yeah, you talk like a royal sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Royal.
Even your sweater.
Even your sweater. Royalty. Says UK. UK. I'm not going to lie. I thought you were from over there too. Because I was like, oh, he must be from UK. I was
like, I'm Maverick Carter.
I got to go to work sweater. I got to go
make the dress. Sweater given royal.
I'll take that.
I like it.
Yeah, it's not wrong with it.
My demeanor is a cross between my mom and my dad. My mm-hmm. mom is super chill, easygoing woman, and my dad is doesn't shut up, gets ignorant. And I had a thing with my dad that I really had to one time tell him. My dad was this guy. I once had to tell him. I moved out. I was living on my mm-hmm. I was 26, had my own place, renovated the shit and everything. He was still coming to my house. And like, you know, like you walk in the house, you take your shoes off, and you might do that on Monday, and you might not touch those shoes again. You're like, I'm going to leave these at the door. I might fuck with them again later in the week. He might come in my house, and he's the same. And I come out, and he came in, and my shoes are gone. So I had to tell him, like, yo, my man, listen, I will always, always be your son. But I am not your kid anymore. If you come in my house, you don't pick up things and take shit without telling me. Mm-hmm. You don't. There's rules in my house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm fine if you don't like the rules. You don't come here. I'll visit you at your house. If you don't like. But my dad is that guy.
So that's how you got that mark right there. Your dad punched you in the eye.
Now, one of Mav's best qualities, though, like, is what you're picking up on mm-hmm. is. He's very non-emotional, and I mean that in a good sense, in a business sense. He mm-hmm. can make very rational, calm decisions. I run hot. He's normally got to talk me off the ledge, but I think that's one of his biggest skills, and that's probably what you're picking up on. Mm-hmm. Always calm, always cool, always can make a decision with the right considerations. He doesn't really often, you know, a lot of us get emotional.
Yeah.
That's not his thing. He's always had that since I met him before. So
yeah,
and it feels like y'all always have like a really like airtight click. So how does somebody like Paul get in that mix?
I don't know. Is that for you? Is for me?
My guys.
I think, you know,
both of y'all.
It's always been, to your point, very airtight in the sense that we love each other, we believed in each other, and we took this journey of growing together. That was the key, right? Me, LeBron, Rich, Randy, have all grown together in every facet of our lives. We've been friends for, you know, over two decades now, as LeBron being a pro athlete. We've all had kids. Mm-hmm. Kids have grown up. Mm-hmm. We've seen grown to be husbands, fathers, boyfriends, friends. And then we also grew in business, too. But we always kept those two things running parallel to each other, but separate. Meaning, I always tell people when me, LeBron, Rich, and Randy are together, even to this day, it's not business 24/7. It is very like, okay, guys, we have to sit down and discuss this issue we're having or this thing we need to solve, this opportunity that's in front of us. But then most of the time, we're at LeBron's house playing cards, eating food, whatever, mm-hmm. hanging like friends would. And I think P fit that same thing, too. He fit that mode of like, oh, this is a guy that's like us, has a very similar background to me. Me and P have a very similar background, being that our dads both spent time in the federal penitentiary.
Mm-hmm. On the way to college.
On the way to class. Or as I was told as a kid, they were away for vacation. Yes. But he also was intelligent and also knew how to grow and was always growing as a friend, but also mm-hmm. in business, too. So I think he fit right in to be a person that was a lot like us in the sense that as friends and as business partners, we were growing and kept going the journey with us. I don't know if you want to add anything.
You know, I think from day one, I don't know if you remember when I first took the LeBron job at Nike, you know, I asked you what I needed to do to be successful in this role. And you said I was already doing it by even asking the questions. And I remember the one thing you said was, don't ever lie to us, right? Meaning, and not even lying, like even on some business shit, it was like, if you know something's not good, come to me and tell me, yo, Mav, I know this isn't great, but it's the best I got right now. And he's like, and I got you. I'm always going to hold you down, right? And I think I've never taken the relationship for granted. I've never, you know, Mav's my best friend. Mav's son's my godson. Mm-hmm. Mav's my boss. And I don't confuse those things, right? I don't confuse those things. Mav's my business partner. He's the CEO of the company, chief brand officer. I don't ever confuse those things or take them for granted, right? Mm-hmm. So when it's playtime or we're having a good time or we're drinking wine or too much Lobos and doing the thing all day, and when it's work time, it's like, yo, I got to run some things by you. What do you want to do? And I think we all treat it that way. He treats it that way with LeBron year 21. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think there's just the highest level of respect, accountability, and honesty with each other. And even when an issue may pop up, because you have those things, you're discussing them early before they actually become issues. I think that's been like great for us.
I always wanted to know, like, when you have somebody like a LeBron or in any industry and that artist is your friend, or, you know, LeBron the basketball player is your friend, when he has a problem with somebody, do y'all have a problem with somebody? Is it that type of brotherhood? Like, if that was the case, me and Charlamagne would have a problem with everybody as well. I feel like I got a problem with everybody. But in that case, is that the same thing with you guys' business?
That's a great question, in the sense that, like, that comes up, right? Meaning, you know, back in the day, he had a beef with Deshaun Stevenson, or it may be on the court, right? So I think if he has a problem with someone, the first thing we do is, first off, we're not at all afraid to say if he's wrong. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we will tell you the world.
In public,
you
know, right?
Mm-hmm. But we will say, yo, that's a little bit, you. We were having this discussion yesterday.
That's why I'm laughing.
With one of us who was saying something. We were like, yo, you're wrong, man. Mm-hmm. You're going the wrong way on this. So that's number one. Number two, if there is a problem with LeBron has a problem, when he had a problem with Deshaun Stevenson, yes, it became a problem with all of us.
That was a real issue? Like,
that was a real issue because LeBron's not a shit starter, by the way. LeBron, that is not his 100%. Nature, huh?
100%.
He's not. He'll get in. Like, if you want to go there, he'll do it. But he never starts anything. He's really thoughtful and really observant and sees everything. In fact, I always tell him he'd be a much better caseworker than basketball player. He sees everything. Like, he's the guy that, like, you know, like, you go to his house to have dinner, he'll be like, yo, Envy, three cookies? You're like, God damn, man. Like, you got a chef here that making cookies. Mm-hmm. Let me eat a cookie and, like, get the hell off my case. But anyway, so he sees everything, but he's not a shit starter. But, like, in that instance, it definitely was a thing that Deshaun made a thing. And then one day I was actually at – I was in Spain, actually. It was a preseason game between the Wizards and the Hornets. I was with Chris Paul. We were out in Spain. And they acted like they really wanted to do something to me, like a couple of Wizards players, like where I felt like nothing happened. Mm-hmm. But you know how you be, like I was in a club in Spain. Yeah.
That's his man. That's his man right there.
Yeah. And it was Deshaun and two guys. I was by myself. I was with Chris, but they maybe had left. I was just hanging. It was packed in Barcelona. And nothing happened. But you know how they made me feel like I had to go to the bar and order two beers. And I don't even really drink beer. And empty them out.
Right. Just giving it back.
I wasn't royal that night.
I'm not royal. I'm not talking about I'm not a royal.
Okay. The royal actor came out. Let the sweater pull you.
If LeBron has a problem with someone on the court, it could. But sometimes it doesn't. Like, you know, because basketball thing could be like they had an issue. He fouled somebody too hard. They fouled him. It's an issue tonight. Mm-hmm. And then it's all good after the game, whatever. But if it's a real thing that carries on, then it could become.
Because as one of the GOATs in the basketball league, somebody's going to have a shot, right? They always take shots because they always want to take shots at the guy that's on top. So it must happen all the damn time. And I know a lot of times he won't reply, but do y'all ever feel like, well, he ain't going to reply, but I'm going to reply?
Nah, that's not our style.
Nah, that's not our style.
My whole thing is just keep it consistent. Right, like keep it consistent. And I think I'll never speak for Bron, but I think even you guys, right? You know, like it comes with the territory of being in the public eye, so you know you deal with it. I think it's when it crosses the line and it becomes personal. You're doing those types of things. You know, I came into I won't say the name. You know this. I bumped into someone, a media personality, and they were talking super reckless. Actually, talking reckless about you when you did the commencement speech.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you can figure out who it was at USC. And for me, that crossed the line because it was like, why, you know, that's not, you know. Mm. So when I saw the person, I didn't have a problem with them or anything like that, but I'm also not cool with you. And the person came up to me and was like, yo, what's good? Love everything y'all doing. I have a problem with that.
Yeah, I have a problem with that.
And I just told him, I'm like, yo, like, don't do that. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, just keep it consistent. Like, you talk great. And he was like, nah, you know, that's just for the thing. I'm like, nah, wait, that's not what we do. So I think to Mav's point, we're never going to start. We're not, you know, we're businessmen, we're dads. But at the same time, just keep it consistent and, you know, there are lines that shouldn't be crossed, just as men.
Last question about Deshaun.
You don't know who that was?
I got to find out after this.
I don't remember that one. Did Jay-Z song agitate that situation when Jay-Z did that freestyle?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks,
Hov.
And Jay called me. I'll never forget. He freestyled that for sure. He called me one night. It was late at night. I was in Ohio, and Jay was on tour. And he had just gone up the stage in Oakland.
Because he was too short.
He was like, he was like, I could still hear him like breathing hard. He just off stage. He was like, yo, I was on stage, and he came up with that shit on stage in Oakland. Jay came up with that, got off stage, called me, was like, yo, I got this, and rapped it to me through the phone. I was like, shit, that's, and I knew right away, like, oh, this is gonna make this thing. And I was like, let's go. And he put it out, I don't know, like a week later. And, of course, that, of course, elevated it.
There's a Mav verse.
There's a Mav verse y'all haven't heard.
You want it until you got 16 on that?
No chance.
How instrumental has Jay been in y'all growth as businessmen? And just men, period.
One of the two, three most important people in our lives, both personally and professionally, because we were fortunate enough to start hanging with Jay about the same time I had that internship. I was 19. Bron was 16 when we first met Jay in Chicago. I always remember how long it was because the first time we met Jay, we met Biggs and Tata first, and then we went up to see Jay in his room at the Ritz. And when he came down the stairs, he was rapping H to the Izzo. And he was like, yo, and they started talking about, he was like, yo, I got the hit. I got the single for the album. So Blueprint wasn't out yet, right then. And we, everything, not just Jay, but his whole crew, we mm-hmm. we looked to them and modeled our thing like that's mm-hmm. that's what we want to be like for sure. And we modeled, so everything we did, thought, do, think, is modeled and thought about that. And then we all became separately personal friends with Jay. We all have personal separate relationships with Jay that have ebbed and flowed over years, meaning that spend a lot of time, then we move, whatever. But it's always been personal and professional. Professional in the sense that we modeled it and studied and learned. Mm-hmm. And personally, because we all became personal friends with him that can call him and go see him. And Randy has a relationship with him. And LeBron has a different relationship than I do. And we all mm-hmm. have these relationships with him that go back and forth. We're all in a group text yeah. with him with P now. So we're always talking and laughing. And did somebody hear this new song? And what do you think of that? Mm-hmm. Talking music, talking business, talking life. Mm-hmm. Sports is a big connection for us. Mm-hmm. We own a suite at SoFi with Jay together. So been extremely instrumental.
And it's dope to this day, you know, when we do something business-wise, I'll be like, I see y'all.
Yes.
You know, it's always dope. Like, he's the big homie. Like, so.
That's nice.
Yeah, he shows.
Let's talk the shop. So why do seasons be so short?
He's in charge of the show.
Oh, and now you're going to
talk about it. He said, I'm the boss.
I get those.
But he's in charge.
Because y'all know people want more. I mean, and it's probably a good thing that you leave yeah. people, like, wanting more. But they be short. How many episodes are we going to
yeah,
get to
see? Yeah, so, you know, that's the most consistent feedback we hear for sure. I think if I had to pick, I'd want people to want more than be like, why are y'all still up here still mm-hmm. talking?
Yeah.
You know, we film. Charlamagne's been on an episode. Mm-hmm. You had a great
Thank
episode,
you.
Actually.
Yeah,
a great
fun.
Episode.
Kevin Hart, Kevin Love, yeah. Lil Nas X.
Lil Nas X and CJ McCollum.
They Gronk, right? No, Gronk wasn't on that.
Gronk. Yeah, Gronk. I said Gronk.
And CJ.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they both were. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, look, the episodes, we get lost in the episodes, meaning, you know, and you can speak for it. It's like, we're there. We tape for an hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes. But we found... the model works a little better when we're shorter. So, we're, you know, 30, 35 minutes. I think Mav's only, you know, point on this thing is let's just make sure the content should dictate how long the episode is.
Yeah.
Right? So if we have a great hour episode, great. If we have a great 27-minute episode, great. But that's the most consistent feedback we get for sure.
But yeah. I think that to his point, the person who's has the hardest job and is the most talented job for the show is the editor. Because as you guys know, at the end of this show, you're sitting in a room with 5-6 people. The conversation goes this way, goes that way, goes this way, goes that way. And the editor has to string that together.
Yeah.
So when you watch it, it feels like one. Because in the room, we're doing all type of shit. You know, last episode, Nelly had to pee in the middle of it. So to get that continuity and to string it together, it's really hard. The editor is amazing to be able to pull that together. That's very hard because you may start a thought, he may jump in, you may jump in, you may come back to that thought 20 minutes later, like, oh, I got something to add to that. And then you got to edit that together. So that becomes a very hard job of making it seem like one. It is one conversation, but make it have continuity through the whole.
What made y'all start the shop? Like, what was the reason for it? Were y'all tired, bored? Or?
No, I'll tell you, you know, it was similar to a conversation like this. I found myself in rooms with people who I respect. And was learning, you know, I made the comment, I said, I learned more in some of these rooms than I did in, like, my formal education, right? And my point was, like, man, I could have used a lot of this information when I was 17, right? So it was like, you know, what can we create that allows people, the 17-year-old versions of PR and Mav, to be a fly on the wall, right? It was supposed to be a podcast at first. And then I took it to Randy, one of our other partners. And as partners often do, he made the idea better and was like, yo, like, we should actually make it, like, in a shop and have real barbershop conversations. Yeah. So I think the beauty of it is it was never intended to be a show. It was never intended to be this franchise, this brand, this anything. It came from an insight of, like, man, like, what if we can broaden these conversations for our communities and the younger versions of us? And it's grown into what it's grown into, right? Couldn't be any prouder of it. I want to ask you guys a question, though. Our first episode, season 7, you just referenced Nelly. As experts, you heard Nelly say his era hip hop was the toughest era, most competitive. You guys agree? You guys disagree?
I agree.
With the names that he said, yes. Yeah, I agree.
It depends what you're talking about. If you're talking about music and like business and sales wise, yes. Lyrically, I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, if you're talking lyrics, I don't think that was the toughest era.
Got you.
I think he was talking about selling.
Yeah, I think it was
If you're talking about selling, probably, yeah,
I would say. Lyrically, which era would you say?
I mean, I would say the 94, probably like that whole 94 era when you first got Nas, when you first got Big, when you first got Jay. Like, that's when Wu-Tang, like, that's that to me, that would be that era.
So Jay thought before that.
The 80s?
The, like, late 80s? Kane, Coogee Rap.
See, that wasn't my era. Okay.
How old are you?
45.
Yeah, I'm 42. Yeah, yeah. I remember.
I remember, but I didn't live it.
Yeah, I didn't live it.
It was the same.
Jay would say that. Yeah, he would say Rakim, Coogee Rap, commercial, Kane.
Yeah, Big Daddy Kane.
That's what he said lyrically. Yeah, that's to your question.
Nah, I mean, I'm from New York, so that era was heavy. The Coogee Raps, the Rakims, the Big Daddy Kanes, but there was nothing like the Jays, the Big, the Nas, and
I know we didn't live that late '80s era though. They lived it. Like, Jay was
there. Lived it.
He lived it.
Yeah.
We didn't live that era.
Yeah. Biggie, I mean, during that time, I mean, because you could go back and forth the lyrics. I did mixtapes back then, and I remember, and I still rap, you know, still play it now, but there was nothing like the Bigs, the Jays, the Nas, the when
that's how I felt.
Yeah, the Outkast, a little that later.
It was Bow Wow and Romeo.
Oh, good.
They would get in.
Bow Wow, one of your goats, Maverick. You can't front on Bow Wow. That's Ohio. You cannot front on Bow Wow.
Claim him.
Bow Wow is a fantastic and always been entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love it. Nice gowns. Nice gowns.
Yeah, it's royal. That's a royal answer. You see?
Yes, it is.
I like that.
What was your answer to what Nelly said? What was your thoughts on it?
Being from New York as well, I think that era, I think.
You think which one?
I think.
Mid-90s?
Yeah, I think so. I think just. But your point, Charlamagne, is the right one. It's like, depends what the metric is we're talking about. Well, if we're talking about lyricism, or we're talking about just successful records sold.
Well, the problem, the reason why you can't do it on successful records sold, because it's not apples to apples. Lyrics is apples to apples. Like, who can really write songs? Because based on records sold, well, then you have to track hip hop's growth as a genre. Like, hip hop was just bigger. The reason Nelly and Eminem and Jay could sell more than the people in the late 80s, because hip hop was still underground. Like, you know what I mean? So it's a little unfair to talk about
it. But there was no streaming, so it made it difficult. You had to go buy records, you had to go to the actual store. Yeah. It was a lot different. And back then, they didn't have the releases like they do now. Now, you could just write a record today and put it out tomorrow. Back then, it was set up on a schedule. True. It had to come out on a certain quarter. Yeah. And like you said, besides Eminem, you know, Nelly, Jay, you had Nas, you had DMX, who was a beast during that time. You had Ja Rule, that was a beast at that time. Like, you had heavy hitters that was...
Maybe the biggest or the biggest.
Ooh, Dr. Dre.
Cash Money
during that time.
Stupid amount of
records. Yeah, like, you had those guys that was selling records. And like you said, they would never share a release date because you never wanted to share your sales with somebody. So those were the times.
Nelly's interesting, though, because he was like the overachiever. Nobody had that expectation of Nelly.
Yeah. Including Nelly, if you ask me. Yeah, Nelly was like, I thought we'd make some money, open up a couple of liquor stores in the Louvre.
Even when he was selling that much, you were like, really?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't expect that of him, for sure.
You know, I want to ask y'all something about the shop, because I can't remember if it's the shop are all the smoke. I can't remember which came first, but
we're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
It feels like y'all created the new media landscape of athletes having their own platforms. How important do you think that is to them contributing to their narratives and controlling their narratives now?
I think... thank you for saying that, by the way. I tell people all the time, like, when going back to the beginning of what you just discussed was in 2010 when we got killed and ostracized for LeBron doing the decision. Mm-hmm. And then in 2014, he essentially did the same thing, but he chose a new medium. Instead of being on TV, he wrote a letter. Mm-hmm. And it was and he was also going back to Cleveland, which helped. But it was received much differently. And then we started a company with that at the center of, like, athlete empowerment and really having athletes be in a place where they can tell their stories the way they like and how they feel. And it's gone really far, which is actually what we wanted. Mm-hmm. We wanted all the smoke to happen. And we wanted I Am Athlete to happen. Mm-hmm. And we wanted New Heights to happen. All these things, it's fantastic. We celebrate
it. Yeah.
We think it's amazing and are here for it. I think the idea of controlling your narrative sometimes gets misused in the sense that, like, our ambition was always to tell amazing, amazing stories. It's not about necessarily, like, a politician who needs to get votes and control you and make people feel this way or that way about you. It's like telling your story, and some people can love it and some people may not. But the fact that all these things have come now is amazing to us, and we celebrate it. And I think for us, it was always about building a company and a place and a brand that represented amazing stories and the ability to tell amazing stories and building a place that could work with athletes and give them the proper resources to tell these amazing stories. Mm-hmm. And we've been fortunate enough to tell a lot of amazing ones, from Muhammad Ali to Neymar to Naomi Osaka to obviously lots of things with LeBron, and win Emmys, and we've been happy. But the thing we're most proud about is that all these now other athletes are doing it too, and we love that.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask, because you mentioned when they made the decision to go to Miami, as a team, it was different, right? Because you guys changed the narrative for NBA, right? Meaning most players, they're good players, they stay on that team forever, win, lose, bad or draw. But you guys changed the narrative and saying, hey, these owners make decisions for us. Now we're going to make our own decisions to see where we want to go, where we want to play with. And that changed the NBA forever. How was that conversation as a team? Because I'm sure somebody on the team was like, I don't know how this is going to come across. Because y'all bossed up was like, well, fuck it. We're going to do it our way anyway.
I remember Rich Paul vividly being upset during the decision on Twitter. I remember that.
Completely. It gets interesting that what you just said, but Rich, yeah, he was vividly upset. He was right, by the way, for the thing he was saying and feeling. But LeBron was right also, and you know those two things can be mutually exclusive. You don't have to have a right and a wrong.
Right.
You can two things can be right at the same time. LeBron was right in the sense that here's the one thing LeBron has a quality that Jay-Z has. I always tell people this. LeBron always knows what's right for him. It's a quality that I wish I had and would probably always. He just nails it all the time. Mm-hmm. He always nails it. Jay is like that. Jay always knows, I'm going to do this song. I'm going to do this feature, not that feature. Why? Mm-hmm. He can't explain it to you. But if you ask LeBron, man, should I have chicken or fish tonight? He's like, how the hell do I know what you should eat? But he knows exactly in the most intricate, hard time, going back to Cleveland. I was like, I don't think this is right.
He was like, I'm not going back to Akron. I'm not going to the bottom anymore. I'm done with the bottom fours.
I moved to LA. I did not go back, actually. But I thought it was not right because of Dan Gilbert, the owner in Cleveland. I'm like, why would that man said that
after
about
he talked
you?
Crazy. Yeah.
Why would you go back and help him? And he knew, and he said something to me. He says, Mavi, I'm in favor of progress over pride. Get rid of your pride. You're making a prideful statement. Mm. I was like, I am, and I'm going to make it again. I would not do that. I would have not ever went back to Cleveland. He knew that was right for him. So LeBron always was able to do that. And I think, you know, to your point, you said he changed what happens in the NBA. But the fact of the matter is, again, a bit like hip-hop, the NBA has just gotten bigger, more talked about, more. Players have, like, Kareem left the Bucks and went to, like, players have done that before. That wasn't a new idea. Shaq. But it just became bigger, you know, the convergence of LeBron, how big the NBA was, we did the decision, all those things combined made it seem much bigger. But LeBron always knows, he has a sense, like a sixth sense of like, I should do this and not that.
I mean, it was good. That's his greatest championship. Like that's
which
the,
one? Cleveland. Going back.
Yeah,
going back.
That's the one.
I mean, he would, that's a good question. Like, are all championships created equal?
No.
Just the answer is no.
No. Absolutely not. I always said if LeBron stayed 20 years in Cleveland, or 21 years, and had that one ring, I think the argument between him and MJ wouldn't be what it is.
What do you mean?
I think people might give it up to LeBron definitively.
Oh, got it.
One ring means more than the four, you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think 100%. Paula agree. I think if he comes to New York and wins one in New York...
Don't get me in trouble.
You know, I wanted to ask about the shot, Paul.
What's up, babe?
That was a risk, right? Putting an active player and giving them a platform then? And letting them talk freely?
Maybe so, but to Mav's earlier point, Ron is so clear in what makes sense for him, and I think it's never risk if it's authentic to you, right? Like, if you believe in what you're saying, I think Bron has always been very clear on what he wants to say, how he wants to say it, and double down on it, stand on business, as the kids say. It was one of the first of its kind. I think the shop is unique. You know, the barbershop, as four men here, the barbershop isn't a new idea, right? Mm-hmm. I think what was different from ours was the diverse rooms and voices we put in a room and the conversations we have. What you won't hear in the shop is like, who's the best basketball player ever? I mean, it's LeBron, but neither here nor there. Like, you know, you won't hear any of those things.
Not the best. He's
the greatest of all time.
No, come on.
We'll take it.
It's still
off.
Michael. It's still Kobe.
Fair.
There's another kid from Akron you can put in there, too.
Maverick
he
Carter.
He was born in Akron.
Maverick Carter.
Steph Curry.
Not in the GOAT conversation.
Yes.
No.
Of all time? Nah. Paul, stop.
Of all time?
Yes. Steph Curry revolutionized basketball.
Steph's great, to be clear. Steph, yeah. Greatest shooter of all time, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he beat Bron 3-1 in NBA Finals.
Well, Golden State. No one beat Bron.
He didn't play one-on-one.
Yeah. Thank you, Jess.
This is going to be a good tussle. Yeah. Let me just lean back in this chair. I love that.
Put my Royals shirt on.
I love that.
But no, I mean, look, the shop.
The conversation is there, though.
Yeah. No, but what makes it different for me at the shop is just these conversations, right? The conversations we have. And I think, you know, not Trent, but the product, when you think about it, is it all feels like an extension of the conversation we're trying to have with our community, right? We view the shop not just as a show anymore. We view it as a brand, but more importantly, as a platform to have those conversations. So, like, you know, the men's grooming line was just an extension of those conversations.
It makes sense.
And you'll see more of it, right? You'll see, you know, we've taken the shop from a show to live experiences, HBCU tour. I saw you on one of the tours, live city tour, products, you know, experiences, all those things. So, you know, we're treating it like a platform and want to make sure we're just authentic to, like, that barbershop experience.
Absolutely.
How do you pick your guests? Because not any and everybody can just get on the shop. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, how do you guys scout out your guests?
Well, we start with the idea of trying to get a room of people who will have a interesting conversation, like very interesting conversation. So not all musicians or all athletes. Like, how do you get people from different walks of life? Because that is... When you grew up going to the barbershop like we all did, the whole point of it was when you went to my barbershop as a kid, there'd be like the fireman, the city worker, the local drug dealer. They were all there.
Right.
The conversation kind of ebbed and flowed and took these twists and turns. It would start off like talking about high school football, and then you might talk about NFL football. But then it might go into the politics of the city and what's happening with the mayor. And, you know, there was always the guy in there who was preaching like, we should be paying more attention to politics and education. So we try and bring that to life, that feeling of like, these are all different people. You have the mom in there with her son. So women were always represented in the shop. So we try and always go like, okay, how can we create a room of diversity, different people, and also people who won't just agree with each other. My grandmother had a saying that I still say to this day. I say it in the company all the time. If two people always agree, one person isn't needed.
Right.
So we try and bring that in our company, but also in the shop always, like, to have it doesn't have to be it's not an argument, right? Yeah. It's like an interesting conversation because to me, I always say all my friends, all the people I hang with are people that I almost 8 or 9 times out of 10, when I sit and talk with them, they say something to me that I go, damn, I never thought about it that way. Those are the best type of conversation to me. Because that means I'm either learning something or you're pushing me to think about something differently. Doesn't mean I agree with you, but it just means I never thought about it that way. Damn, that's interesting. I need to think. I was having a conversation with a writer yesterday, Wright Thompson. I don't know if you guys know Wright Thompson. Fantastic writer from Mississippi. And he's written this book on Emmett Till that I encourage everyone, called The Barn. And it's very... awesome, this book he's written. And we had it was supposed to be an hour conversation. We were talking about his book. He's wrote many books, but this is his third book, I think. And he's a writer for ESPN, a white dude from a little small town in Mississippi. And I was learning so much, and he was pushing me to think. We went on for 2.5 hours because I was just kept going like, damn, you're right. I never thought about it that way. And think, well, what about this? And we were just going back and forth and didn't agree on everything. And he was telling me about his and, like, those are the best conversations. So we try and bring that feeling to the shop because that was the feeling I had as a kid in the shop. A lot of the shit that I know and feel, my demeanor, comes from the barbershop I grew up in. Kareem's on Mildred and Howard, on the corner of Mildred and Howard. I grew up going there. Everything about me comes from that place.
What's the difference between the shop and Mavericks with Mav Carter? Or even now LeBron show with J.J. Redick, like, what's going to separate those three shows?
Great question. LeBron show, I don't know if you guys have watched it. A new episode comes today or tomorrow.
Too high level for me.
I was about to say.
It is. That is not for the casual basketball.
It is two scientists.
Yes, Mind the Game.
It's LeBron, Mind the Game, with LeBron and J.J. Redick is like watching two scientists talk about, you know, mixing chemicals in a laboratory, or two wine sommeliers talking about, you know, the soil in which the, so that is
absolutely
a very it's so deep. In fact, there's when you watch it, there's a key for like when they use a term that you have to. And listen, I played basketball at a pretty high. I played Division I basketball in the Mid-American Conference, so I feel like I know basketball really well and I can keep up. But when they talk, I have to sometimes go, guys, what does that mean? Mm, some of their terms. I've, and then when I
different language.
Then when they say the term, I'm like, okay, I know what that is. Mm-hmm. That show is about basketball. JJ and LeBron are both super high level, like genius level basketball. Mm-hmm. But they do bring it to a level where JJ does mostly, to a level that is digestible. And if you love hoops and you want to get smarter about hoops and watch the game and understand it in a different way, that show is for you.
Gotcha.
That show is for you. And that show came out last week, the first episode, and they're going to do an episode. It's going to get great. They eventually will bring guests on, like coaches, other players. But that show is going to be the place for anybody in basketball who wants to go and show, I also know basketball very well. My show is a much different show. Shout out to KP, who runs the Spring Hill brand, who pushed me to do it. I did not want to do it. Not because of any other reason besides I have enough jobs, so I'm fucking ready. But it's all about bringing on people who one-on-one will force me to have a conversation where I go, damn, that's interesting. So I had Shonda Rhimes on, who I am a fan of her, but I never watched all of her shows. I am not like a Shonda Land who've seen every episode of every show. But I also go into every episode, not, you guys do this every day, every single day. I don't do it every day. But I don't overly prepare. And the reason I don't overly prepare is because I want to let my actual curiosity just guide me through that conversation, just naturally. I don't want to know too much about you. Because I actually sit there, I had Jay Shetty on, who I'd never heard of before he came on the show. Mm-hmm. Now I learned so much from him and talking to him.
That's our guy.
That's great. Yes, a good man. Yeah. So that show is about bringing on people who are the most interesting people in the world to me, and I'm personally interested in learning from, and hopefully the audience will learn as I learn with them. And the shop, which is the oldest version of it, is obviously multi. There's many people on the show, and it's about community in the sense that we're all part of one big community, but bringing people together that from all walks of life to push and challenge and laugh about different topics.
So, what was your experience like on the shop as a guest?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, it felt like exactly how you said. It just felt like a kickback, and you could actually get too loose and get lost in conversations. Yes. You know, and I got introduced to a fantastic wine.
Lovely one. Right?
Been buying it ever since.
I think one for me, like the greatest compliment I've ever been paid on the shop was when we had Jay on, and Jay was sitting to my left, like Jess is, and we're talking and doing what we do, and Jay kind of looks over at me. He's like, "Yo, when do we start recording?" And I'm like, "We've been recording for 20 minutes."
Oh wow!
Right, and it's like it just let me know that we're having an organic conversation that you never hear, similar to you never hear action, you never, we're having a conversation. I think that's when you get the good stuff, right? You guys are the best at it. It's like when you get the good, it was just conversation, doesn't feel like a Q&A or an interview.
I just got two more questions. You got a question?
No.
Okay. Was HBO ever necessary?
Absolutely. Okay. HBO was a fantastic partner. HBO validated the shop HBO, in my humble opinion, It's not the same anymore, which saddens me a bit. HBO was the Louis Vuitton of TV and media.
Yeah.
It was the Porsche of TV and media. It was Nike. Like it was the one of those
top
brands.
Top of the top. Yep.
Yeah.
When you were on HBO, it meant like shit. That's an HBO show. When I said to you, "Are you watching blah 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 blah?"
Sopranos,
you go, "Where's that?"
Wire.
Like it's on HBO. Yeah. You're like, oh.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, and all the other networks have had good shows and hits, but HBO getting that stamp. I told the CEO of HBO, Richard Plepler, at the time, I said, us having the shop on HBO is like getting your own sneaker at Nike. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm going to use that in the boardroom. I said, that's what HBO means. You have a show on HBO, it's literally like, oh, I got my own shoe from Nike. Yeah, so it definitely matters.
Yeah, people ask me, I'm like, no one needs the New York Yankees. But they validate you, you're a New York Yankee, right? Mm-hmm. And I think for us, to answer your question, Charlamagne, like, we learned a lot from them. They were great, a great partner for us. Learned a ton in the four seasons we were with them. And I think we grew up as a business, as entrepreneurs, as a show, and it was just time for us to, you know, take it on our own and grow our own audience and explore other opportunities. But they were a great partner for us. I think if we could do it all over again, we've said we'd do it again. We'd 100%. Do, you know, they were absolutely the right move at that time.
Yeah.
And my last question, it feels like 21 years has gone by very quickly.
Oh, man.
Nobody expected 21 years. Not at this level. Mm-hmm. So when did y'all start setting up for life after basketball?
Probably in year four. Not in a way of what are we gonna do when basketball is over? More so like I tell people I left Nike and LeBron was like, yo, I want you to come help me find my agent. Come work with me. I did that. For the first, not anymore, but probably as recently as like 3 or 4 years ago. But definitely at the beginning, I started to think my first name was LeBron's and my last name was Friend.
Hilarious.
That's how I got introduced. Wow. LeBron's Friend. I was like, damn, my last name is Friend and my first name is LeBron.
Right. 4 years ago they were still doing that?
Nah. I mean, not in a way like that. Mm-hmm. That's why I corrected myself, like at the beginning. But still for sure some people go, oh, this is mad.
Yeah.
Like they won't say Friend anymore. They dropped the Friend, so I would say we didn't start talking about it in a way that was like, what are we gonna do when basketball's over? We gotta be very tactical and thoughtful. It wasn't like that. It was actually just more like pure human emotion and a bit ego too of like me, Rich, Randy going like, we're gonna work until we're no longer introduced as LeBron's Friend. Mm-hmm. Like that was a big part of it. That actually, I think I'm almost sure I still have that chip. And LeBron was he was the ringleader of it. Like, yo, I want you guys to, it's funny, he talks about now, he's like, he'll say to me now, or to Rich, I wanted you guys always to go be your own, become your own men. But I never knew it would turn into so much that I don't even see you guys.
Yeah, I need you to come back.
I don't even see you guys. Wow. We used to hang, like, we don't, because we work so much. But, so it was more like that feeling of like, and then strategy and tactics, obviously, how we thought about it. Became a thing. Rich found his lane and became the best agent in sports. Was never going to be my thing. I liked being more of an entrepreneur, doing other things. And Randy found his lane, always being in charge of everything. LeBron's chief of staff. But actually, talking about post basketball, the first time I had a conversation of really post basketball LeBron, the first time he said the word retirement to me was 5 weeks ago. First time I've ever heard him say the word, man, we should sit down and talk about retirement. He had never said that to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, shit, I guess we should. So we had never, and we sat down and was like, okay, here's all the things to think about. There's this, there's media. You're never going to call games. Do you want to do more stuff in media? Team owner. And we're like, let's just lay it all out and you can think about it. But literally, I can look back. They were in Houston playing the Rockets because I flew to Houston. I was in Houston already, and I flew and I went and saw him. First time he ever mentioned the word retirement. Let's talk about retirement.
You know what the headlines are going to say? Maverick says LeBron talks retirement, so this might be his last season. That's what the headlines are going to be.
Sure. After he heard Charlemagne the God say, LeBron is actually going to play 10 more years to prove Charlemagne the God he's one of the all-time greats.
No, he is one of the all-time greats. Did you realize you were spoiled in that moment?
What do you mean?
When he said 5 weeks ago he was going to retire, and did you ever look at him like, it isn't normal for somebody to play 21 years.
You know,
this isn't normal.
It's not normal for anybody to do. It's hard to do anything for 21 years.
At this level.
And when you add the level, when you add the toll, I think if LeBron could play, if LeBron didn't have to play road games, he might play 10 more years. He could play 10 more years. What's really wearing on him is to travel, leaving family, leaving his house, waking up in a hotel in Milwaukee, and he's like, why am I here again? He would tell you, like, why am I here again?
Yeah, and you a billionaire already?
And I got a lovely house and a wife and kids in L.A. And now I'm, and he would tell you, but the minute he walks into the arena and the lights come on, he's like, oh, yes.
Game time.
This is why I'm here. But in that hotel in Indiana in March, he's like, the fuck am I doing here? Why am I here? I always tell people that's the hardest thing, like to be that guy that long and to really still go out there and play basketball. And like, it's not, it's clearly not about the money. Like if anybody thought he was playing for money, it's clearly not. But I think, I realize, I think I'm definitely spoiled because I've been up close and personal to see a person who is so dedicated, so committed for so long. So I've been able to see that, and it's, I was spoiled, jaded, a bit naive to like, oh, this is what, how it's supposed to go. It's not. But then I think as fans, I sometimes am like, even when I'm in LA, sometimes I'm like, shit, I worked all day. LA, the traffic is a beast, as we all know. I got to drive all the way downtown. But I'm like, but it's fucking LeBron James. I'm going to watch LeBron James. I'm going. Like, that is when I think about that point that you brought up for sure. But it's definitely a sense of like, we all got spoiled as even all of us as basketball fans that he's going to be here forever, or he played 21, he's played 21 seasons and not had one, he's never had a bad season. Never, never had a bad season. Not even close to a bad season.
I think what y'all do is respect it. It's not going to be appreciated until he walks away. When he walks away, they're going to look at the whole totality of everything that y'all accomplished. And that's when they're going to, like, really give you all the just due.
I mean, I think that happens with a lot of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But why is that?
Right.
I don't know.
Because it happens in a lot of everything.
I don't think people respect it until it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When it's gone.
But that's when you get a chance to really
sit
look
back
at
and watch
it.
At yeah.
Because we look at things in segments now. Like, we're looking at it, see. But if you look at the whole totality of everything that's been accomplished over the last 20 years.
But then we say, does it continue?
Unprecedented.
Because
right?
LeBron has two boys that are amazing in basketball. Does it continue? Now do you continue on that same lineage?
Never be another LeBron James. Not even. Not it's nothing's impossible. But the things that make him who he is, it's really hard to get that cocktail of things to make that person who he is.
Well, if the Knicks pick his son, are you moving to New York? That's the last question. Huh? If the Knicks,
I love New York.
Paul would love that.
And be me and you'll talk off.
All right.
I come to New York all the time. I would love to be in New York.
Well, I appreciate you guys for joining us. Maverick Carter, Paul Rivera.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Seventh season of The Shop.
Seven, yep.
That's right. The Shop on YouTube. And definitely check out all the grooming products that they
have
out there
them
right
for
now.
You guys, by
appreciate
the way.
That
they
so
don't
much.
Have for the moms that Absolutely. Bring their sons in the barbershop.
But you know, they're. Or you just start helping them learning grooming. Because, you know, a lot of young boys and men think grooming and face care is for special occasions.
Mm-hmm.
It's for every day.
That's right.
Every day.
Yep.
Wash, exfoliate. That face.
Right.
Moisturize that face.
That's right.
And every day.
Yeah.
It's not
that's
for
right.
just when you're going to the prom or the big basketball game. It's daily. So that's what you got to do.
Okay, and I can take the mirror.
Yes, and be the
all yours.
Nice.
Be the face.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring.
Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.